Okay, first of all, thank you very much. Thank you everyone for coming. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I appreciate it. Thank you, Lizzie, whoever else was involved. I don't know, but thank you very much for asking me. Bill, everybody, thank you. It's a beautiful thing, first of all. I mean, to have 30 guys come out to learn in the middle of the summer is really, it's, yashikayach to all of you, it's ashreichem, it's beautiful. So the topic tonight is, as you saw, is religious Zionism. The truth is that the name of the shir, I could have gone in a couple different ways. I didn't want to drive people away, but I wanted people to still come and be interested in what's going on. So religious Zionism is a little bit of a loose topic. I want to start off the speech by telling you what I'm not going to discuss tonight, okay? What I'm not going to discuss tonight is Yom HaAtzma'ut, Yom Yerushalayim, saying Hallel, flying the flag. Those are things that I'm not going to discuss tonight. If people aren't too upset at the end of the speech, maybe you could ask me back and I'd be happy to speak about it a different time. We'll see. I'm also not going to discuss specific policies of the Israeli government. I'm not going to discuss the draft law. I'm not going to discuss funding for kollels. That's not what I'm here to discuss. And the reason why, and I think this is important to say, the reason why is because, to me, it's not a stira to disagree with something that the government does and still love the country. I'm an American. We're all Americans. We love America for the most part, the greatest democracy the world has ever known. That doesn't mean that we agree with every single thing that the government does. We don't necessarily agree with every single thing that the president says. We don't have to. It's not a stira. So I think that's important to note. So you might be against the way that they draft soldiers into the Israeli army. It doesn't mean that you can't recognize that the people in Israel sitting and learning, for example, are being protected by the Israeli soldiers. It's not a stira. You can think both of them. That's okay. And I think that's an important point to make. And my views on the issues is a separate topic. What I do want to discuss is the Haredi, in quotes, ultra-Orthodox, call it whatever you want, view on Zionism, on the state of Israel. What is the view? What do we believe? What did our Chachamim tell us? What did the Gedolim tell us? What did the Gedolei Hadar since the start and the foundation, Hakamas HaMedina, the start, the foundation of the state of Israel, what did the Gedolim of the time say about that? That's going to be my main focus. I'll try not to go on too many tangents. So let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. And I'm sure a lot of you don't know me. My name is Shlomi Zeltzer. I'm not a rabbi. I went to Yeshiva Tarakimim Elementary School. I went to YTT High School, which unfortunately does not exist anymore. And then I went to Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshivas Lev Avram, which unfortunately does not exist anymore. To say nothing about the camp that I went to, which also does not exist anymore. Then I came back. I went to Rabbi Zucker's yeshiva, which Baruch Hashem still does exist. So I think that spell was broken. And my point in telling you this is, I grew up in a fairly typical upbringing in Flatbush. Fairly typical. So I want to just tell you two things that happened over the last couple of years to me that opened my eyes and is part of the reason why I chose to speak about this topic and why I feel passionate and why I think it's important to discuss this. Number one is my daughter Shoshana, who is an amazing girl. She just graduated high school in Beis Yaakov in Flatbush. And at the Shabbos table one week, we were sitting and we were talking about the Parsha, and we were talking about other things that sometimes happens at my table. We started talking about Israel, and she had her friends over, and she stopped me, and she said to me, "You know, Daddy, sometimes it's really hard for me in school." I said, "What do you mean?" She's a good student. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Sometimes you say things at the table. I go to school, and I hear something completely the opposite." And I said, "What are you talking about? I know she has this halacha teacher who's very strict sometimes." I said, "You know, I always try to do the halacha, whatever your teacher says. We try to bring it into the house." She said, "No, Daddy, stop it. You know what I'm talking about. Israel." I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "You know, I have a teacher there. She's Israeli, actually. And she tells me things that are exact opposite of things that you say in the house. And it's hard for me. I don't know what to think." I said, "You don't know what to think? You don't listen to your father?" But then I told her, "You can make a decision on your own. She's in 12th grade." But this was, that's what I told her. But this was an eye-opener for me. Because to me, growing up in the yeshivas that I went to, I wouldn't say, I remember my father telling me that he had a rebbe who would talk about the Treifa Medina. I never had a rebbe like that. I don't recall that a rebbe ever spoke bad about Israel. They never spoke anything pro-Israel, but they never spoke anything anti-Israel. And that's how I always assumed that it was. And for the most part, it is. But I think it's important that people understand the topic before speaking about the topic. So that was event number one. Event number two happened to me in the Bungo Colony a couple of years ago. I was talking to Shui Feldberg, Bing Gavra Lagavra, and not during Lainey. And I was talking to him. I was talking about something in the Parsha, and I went back, and I wish I could remember what it was. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I said something. I said, "How could, when you look at this pasuk, how could you not be a Tzioni? How could you not be a Zionist?" And the two people sitting in front of us whipped their heads around so fast. They said, "What? You think that the Israel of today is the same as the Eretz Yisrael of Moshe Rabbeinu?" And I said, "First of all, yes, I do. It is the same Arzeinu Akedaisha. That's klar. That everyone would agree to. So that's first of all." But I didn't want to go further and start arguing with him, with the two people. I didn't want to start arguing with him, so I said, I hear. But these are two events that really got me feeling that maybe this is something that has to be discussed. So Luzi asked me for a controversial topic when he asked me to speak. He said, "Oh, something controversial, right?"
Yep.
And I said, okay, after I thought about it, I said, "Okay, I want to talk about religious Zionism." And he says, his text, he said, "Perfect. Perfect." So I didn't realize until after that in Luzi's WhatsApp profile, it says Libi Bamizrach. I didn't realize that. Libi Bamizrach Tamid. So Libi Bamizrach, so just to tell you, Luzi, I'm sure you know, but to tell everyone else, that line was authored by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who is the author of the Kuzari. Okay, the Kuzari is a widely accepted sefer. Okay, and he said Libi Bamizrach V'Anoichi B'Seif Mariv, as he was pouring out his heart. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was a poet, he was an author, he was a doctor, he was a great person, obviously, and he was famous for writing about Eretz Yisrael, but from his heart. Not just that it should be part of tefillah or scholastic, but it was in his heart. And he lived in Spain, I believe, and at the end of his life, he traveled, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to fulfill his lifelong dream of going there. And it's a little murky about exactly what happened, if he ever made it there or not. A legend has it that he did make it to Eretz Yisrael, and as he was kneeling at the Kais Lamaravi, an Arab killed him as he was doing that, as he got into Eretz Yisrael. So that was Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. So when I mentioned to a couple of people, I didn't tell too many people, but I mentioned to a couple of people that I'm speaking, I got five different reactions. Reaction number one is, why did they ask you? Thank you, Moshe Chaim. Why are they asking you? So that's number one.
I wanted this.
Yeah, because Moshe Chaim wanted to be asked. Okay. Number two was a genuine interest in the topic. People were interested in the topic, a couple people. Number three was an eye roll and just walking away, which I'm used to. Number four was, whoa, really? That's what you're going to talk about? As if it's, I don't know what topic. And number five, and this is the one I want to talk about a little bit, is what's so controversial about that? Why is that controversial? And that's an excellent point that this person told me. So let me tell you why I think it's important to talk about this topic, okay? Everyone here, I would imagine, we're roughly all in the same boat. I don't know everyone here, but roughly we're in the same boat. We send our kids to yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs. We visit Israel. We either do allow or would allow our children to go learn / study in Israel for a year. We have no problem doing any of that. We don't protest openly against Israel, I don't think. But we're also not openly advocating for the state of Israel. We're about to start the 9 days coming up. And it's a terrible time in our history. That's well documented. But let's be honest, 9 days is also a great time for barbecues, right? I mean, every night of the night. I eat more fleishiks in the 9 days than I do in a regular week. There are fundraisers every night, barbecues every night. And it's great. And I'm not saying anything bad about that at all. But wow. But look around how much money is being raised and how many moistas are being campaigned for. Did you ever go to a single barbecue related to the state of Israel? One. I didn't. I never have. Never. Why not? FIDF. Why can't we campaign for that? Friends of the IDF. AIPAC. Why can't we? Why are there no campaigns for any of these organizations? These are organizations that advocate for the state of Israel, that do good for the state of Israel. Baruch Hashem, we're in one of the most affluent times in the history of Klal Yisrael. The money that goes to tzedakah is ain't a dime to any other time in history. Why is the money from the Orthodox community not going toward the state of Israel? Now, why is it important for us as American Orthodox Jews to discuss this now? So those who know me know that I'm a big baseball fan. And by definition, that means that... Yeah, Morty. And by definition, that means that I like numbers and statistics. And I do. So let me throw out some statistics for everybody. By the way, thank you everyone for coming here, especially on DeGrom pitching night. I appreciate it very much. So first of all, the obvious. America is Israel's greatest ally in the world. America gives Israel $3 billion in aid every single year. And it's true that Israel is the most successful nation, one of the most successful nations on the planet, but this aid and partnership with America is very, very important. It's crucial in developing military technology, military equipment. These things are vital for the security of the state of Israel. And when I say the state of Israel, I mean all the Jewish people living in Israel, whether they're sitting and learning in Kollel, or whether they're on the front lines, or whether they're working on a kibbutz. The state of Israel protects everybody equally. So that's very, very important to understand the relationship that we have as American Jews to Israel. America is also the only nation that consistently vetoes anti-Israel resolutions at the UN. Okay, consistently. Why? Why do they do this? So there's a few reasons. Number one is our interests are aligned. Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. So that's number one. Israel's an important ally. Number two, the Jewish people are, as of now, the largest non-Christian religious group in America. And number three is that Jewish organizations like AIPAC, for example, successfully lobby the U.S. Congress for the state of Israel, and that keeps the relationship going. Now, why are Orthodox Jews important to this dynamic? Orthodox, Haredi, whatever you want to call it, us. Why? So my father wrote an article a few years ago called "Who Will Support the State of Israel?" So this article is from 2015, so the statistics might be slightly outdated. But here's a couple of statistics. I'll just give you two. The Orthodox population in America. In 2002 and 2011, the UJA studied the Jewish population of the 8-county New York area, okay? Our area. So this is the greatest concentration of Jews in America, is in this area. So the study showed that since 2002, Jewish population growth has been driven by high birth rates among the Orthodox, especially the Haredim, whose birth rate is at least 3 times that of the non-Orthodox Jewish New Yorkers. So we're growing faster than the other Jewish people. In fact, 90% of the growth in Jewish population has been among the Orthodox. Okay? We're much younger. We have high fertility rates. 4.1 children among Orthodox Jews, 1.9 per Jews overall. Intermarriage is also not a problem amongst the Orthodox. And among Jews in general, 44% have a non-Jewish spouse, including 6 in 10 Jews that were married in the year 2000 or later, which is a staggering number. There's a Jewish sociologist, Stephen M. Cohen. He sums it up very nicely. He says, every year the Orthodox population has been adding 5,000 Jews, and the non-Orthodox population has been losing 10,000 Jews. So the Orthodox community is extremely, extremely important because we're growing. And we're growing at a rate much faster than other parts of Judaism. So that's great for the Orthodox population, but it's not great for the state of Israel. Because frankly, the Orthodox community does not do its share in supporting. I'll give you one more statistic to show why we're so important. In the United States, support for the state of Israel among evangelical Christians is stronger than among the Jews. A Pew study asked the question, was Israel given to the Jewish people by God? 40% of Jews answered yes. 40%. 44% of the U.S. general public answered yes. 55% of Christians, 82% of white evangelicals. The only group that was higher was the Orthodox Jews. 84%. Among the ultra-Orthodox, it was 81%. And the modern Orthodox, 90%. We're not important. We're important. Very important. Now, let's get into it a little bit. A lot of times when I go to speeches, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I go to speeches, I wonder to myself, okay, that's one side of the story, but what about the other side? The other side, they believe what they believe for a reason. And it's not just out of nowhere. So to be fair, I want to take a look at the religious, I'll call it the religious anti-Zionist view and where they get it from. So as far as I can tell, there are two major issues that people have with the Zionist movement. Number one is the Shalosh Shavuos. Okay, it's a Gemara in Sukkos, and we'll get to it in a second. That's number one. And number two is the Zionist beginnings, how the state of Israel started. It was started by atheists, secular Jews, and this was a terrible thing. Minim and Apikorsim, and this was a terrible thing in the eyes of some Gedud. So let's start with the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis says, it talks about Reb Zera and Reb Yehuda. Reb Zera, I don't have it with me, and I forgot to take out the Gemara, so I don't have the exact question. It's okay. Thank you. But it says that Reb Zera was avoiding Reb Yehuda. And he was avoiding Reb Yehuda because Reb Zera wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to move from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that Reb Yehuda would not be happy about that. And so a machlokes ensues between Reb Zera and Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yehuda brings the pasuk that says, "Ishbati eschem benois Yerushalayim and shir hashirim." I have put a shvua on you, benois Yerushalayim, referring to Klal Yisrael. A bit zvois of ayolis hasada with the gazelles and ayolis hasada. And he says, and Reb Zera defends himself. He says, "Ahu shalay yal Yisrael b'chaima," which is, this is the key line to keep in mind because I'm going to keep saying it again and again. So Reb Zera, Ahu shalay yalu Yisrael b'chaima, the pasuk is referring to that Klal Yisrael should not go up to Eretz Yisrael b'chaima. And Rashi says, shalay yalu b'chaima, yachad b'yad chazaka. We shouldn't all go up to Eretz Yisrael together. But Reb Zera was timing for an individual to go up to Eretz Yisrael is not a problem. I couldn't go by myself. It's just, the shvua is just that we shouldn't go up to b'chaima. And further in the Gemara, Reb Zera says, what are the three shvuos? So the Baskin Shira Shirim Shlem HaMalach, he says that there were three shvuos that Hashem put on Klal Yisrael, or Hashem put on the world. Achas Shalayal Yisrael V'chayma, which we just mentioned. V'achas she'eshbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael sh'lo yimardu be'umos. Another that Hashem had Klal Yisrael swear not to rebel against the nations. Umos ha'olam. V'achas she'eshbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'ovdei kechavim sh'lo yishtabdu be'em Yisrael yaris midai, that Hashem had the nations of the world swear not to subjugate Klal Yisrael too much. So these are the Sholei Shavuos. This is an important concept. Anyone who wants to ever discuss Zionism has to know this concept. This is a Sholei Shavuos. This is a Farish Gemara, and this and that's the basis of the sheet of the quote unquote anti-Zionist. So I want to just read from the Vayoyel Moshe. The Vayoyel Moshe is a Satmar Rav who was a Talmud Chacham Atzum, and his work. It's an unbelievable work. The amount of ideas that are in the Vayoyel Moshe is unbelievable. But I'll just start off. I'm just going to read a little bit from the Hakdama, the Vayoyel Moshe. Heyois is the very first sentence in the Hakdama of the Vayoyel Moshe written by the Satmar Rav. Heyois ki v'avayniseinu arabim b'shanim ha'achronos. Now, due to our many sins in these later years. And this was written in 1961, so after the foundation of the State of Israel. So Valnutsaris Rabbis Murura Iskalana, we have many troubles. We have a lot going on. Asharlai Haisa Kazaisli Israel may Azali Elagai, things that never happened ever. Vihine Milaflimbi Israel, the Khalagaris Kushigia is Sarali Yaqib. Whenever there's an Is Sarali Yaqib, what does Kal Yisrael do? Chakru Vidarshu Mazavi Al Mazed, they try to figure out what's going on. Why are we being subjugated to these terrible times? Is Avangar Mahavi, what sin could we have done? Vilashav Al Hashem is far so that we could do tshuva and return to Hashem. The Akshav Vidarinu Zeb, and now in this generation, ain't Srikum Lakapish Lavaki. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to look and see what the terrible sin was. Zakta Samarov. Ki ugoliyu mufurish, the different chazal, it's beferish in chazal. Kishagidu one is ice, beferish shalomdu mikraish al yidei ha'avar al hashvus. Because we didn't listen to the Sholei Shavuos. There's a shvuah that Hashem put on us not to go up to Eretz Yisrael. And we didn't listen to it. You're going to push off the coming of Mashiach. The terrible people who started the State of Israel, their Minim and Apikorsim, and they took control. And he says very, very strong language. I'm skipping a little bit. Sorry. If I could convince one person, then the whole thing would be kedai that I'm saying this. If you take all the pirtzes adar, na'averis hamarubay sanasis, the terrible sins that were done b'chol ha'olam, v'yasim away from mekaf mazayim achas, and you put them on one side of the scale. All the terrible averis in the world, put them on one side. U'medina atziyonis mekaf mazayim ashenis, and you take the Zionist Medina and put it on the other side. Takriya sakol, it outweighs everything. This very strong lashon of the Satmar Rav. Very strong. So that's important to note. It doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from the Satmar Rav, and that's what he says. But there's another important point. There's another important point that he says. There is part of, they call themselves Satmar Chassidim, I'm not even going to mention their name, it's not worth it, that think that they're Satmar Chassidim, and they go out and they openly protest. And Machal Shem Shemayim. They didn't listen to the Vayayel Moshe. Because he says the Farish. Oh, shetzrichim l'racham v'shemayim shetech lo'is ha'malchus ach v'rak al yidei koyach m'malam e'is Hashem yisbarach. Only from Hashem can the Yeshua come from this. Only from Hashem, v'lo'is al yidei ha'umais, not from the nations of the world. So don't go visit Ahmadinejad yimach shemay. Don't visit Abbas yimach shemay, Arafat yimach shemay. Don't go visiting them. The Satmar Rav said that the Farish. Don't listen to BDS. That's not the way that you're going to... You're not helping anybody by doing that. Kim chas v'sholom al yidei ha'umas. Chas v'sholom, it should come from the nations of the world. He's sakana gedoyla li Yisrael. Can move on. It's poshet. That's a sakana for Kol Yisrael. Hashem is baruch yirachim alinu ve'alkol ame Yisrael. Hashem should help us. I don't think it's coming from the Umay Sa'olam. It's not. So why they don't listen to that part of the Samra, I don't know. I'm not here to answer. Now, if the Samarav said something like this, the Samarav wasn't a nobody by any stretch of the imagination, there has to be a rebuttal. So Shlomo Aviner, he wrote a sefer, and in there he has not one, not two, he has 13 answers on what the Samarav says, of why he says that it's not true. I'm going to go through quickly. I'm not going to go through all 13. I'm just going to go through a couple of them just to show the other stuff. One of the things that he says is HaFaras Umay Sa'olam Es Shvuasam Bitlas Kol HaShvuos. And to me, this is the most obvious one. The first time I learned this Gemara even, it came into my head automatically. The Umay Sa'olam and Mevatel, they're part of the Shvua. This is Shali Shvuos that come in a package. And one of them is that the nations of the world can't subjugate the Jews more than Yisrael Midai. That's Pashit. That's obviously the Umay Sa'olam didn't listen to their end of the deal. Especially this is coming on the heels of the Holocaust. So, if the ones other don't have to listen, then the rest of the shvuah is batal. To me, that's pashut. That's one of the answers. Another one is Aliyah Hadarganis Enekechayma, ascending in stages is not the same as going up like a wall. Rashi clearly says Biyad Chazaka, to go up strong in force. That is not how the state of Israel came to be. Another one he says, this one was puzzling to me, mamish, until yesterday. He says that the wall stands for only 1,000 years. Okay, I had no idea where he got this from the first time I learned this, but I saw that Reb Chaim Vital, again, accepted by everybody. Yes, Reb Chaim Vital, in his introduction to the Eitz Chaim, he says, Beferish, Shishpat Yitzchem Ben Oysir Yerushalayim, that the Shvua is only for 1,000 years, as it says in the Brisa of Reb Shmuel and Pirkei Hecholos. And similarly, it says in the Zohar, if you're into that. The Zohar says the same thing. So Shvua is only going for 1,000 years, and we're way past that. So that's another thing. Another rebuttal. Inyan ha-chayma ha-shinu v'machlekes b'gemara. The issue of the chayma, of the wall, is the machlekes in the gemara. So there's a gemara in Yuma, which we learned together, right? The Gemara in Yuma says, Reish Lakish avisacha b'yardana. Reish Lakish was... He was swimming in the ocean, in the Yarden. Asa Rabba Barachana, Yavle Yada, and he gave him his hand. And Amarle, Elokas Saninu Lachu. Nah, get out of here, I don't want your hand. Yechsivim, Chayma he nivna lea tiras kesef. If you go up like a Chayma, then it could have been tiras kesef. V'imdela si natsura lea luach erez. But if you're going like a door, Rashi says it means you're coming, you're going. Not really going up strong. If you all would have gone up in the days of Ezra, then you'd be like silver, which doesn't tarnish. That's the point of the Gemara. Now it's like a wooden door, it rots. You didn't accomplish anything. So clearly here, there's a svar in the Gemara to say the opposite. That if you go up like a chayma, it would have been good. It would have been great. So that's machlokes in the Gemara. Another answer that he gives. I thank my father for pointing this out to me. The Baal HaShvuos, Rab Zera, right? Rab Zera is the one that said the Shali Shvuos. Chazer. Rab Zera himself was Chazer. He is the one that put out the Shali Shvuos and defined what they are. But Rab Zera was later Chazer. And my father showed me where he was Chazer. It's a Medrash in Shir HaShir. Rab Zera nafakle l'shuka l'mezim mekaymer. Rab Zera went to the shuk to buy something. Amar leila dengahu tukil yeyas, to the guy who was weighing the stuff. Yeah, weigh it good for me. V'amar le leisata azalan menacha bavloyi tichorben avasay. Get out of here. You're from Bavel, you ruined it for everybody. Bahu ansa, at that time, Amar Rab Zera, les avasay da ding. Are my fathers not like your fathers? And he was very distraught, Rab Zera. So all the Beis Vada, he went to a shul. V'shama kalid Rab Shila, and he heard the voice of Rab Shila, Yasuf Darish, and he was sitting and he was darshaning, Im Chaimahi, the pasuk that Rab Zera was the Pasuk Derek Zera learned the Shalosh Shavuos im Chaimahi ilu al Yisrael Chaimah min Agayla. If Klal Yisrael would have gone out, gone as a wall from Galus, lo yicharav Beis Hamikdash pam shniya, the Beis Hamikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. Amar Yafal Matani Am Aretz. This Am Aretz taught me good. So Reb Zera was clearly chayzer from what he had said earlier. So that's another point. Another point. I'm going to skip because we don't have so much time. Gimel Hashvuos Heim Inyan Agada V'Lay Halacha. The Gimel Shvuos is it's an agadita. It's not a halacha. Agadita in the Gemara, anyone who learns Gemara knows, agadita in the Gemara has to be taken seriously. But it's not halacha. It's not. And in fact, the Rambam, you know, I went to a share last night that the person giving the share said that Rambam doesn't talk about it, but I pointed it out to him afterwards, he doesn't talk about Mishneh Torah. But in the Igeres Teman, which was a letter that the Rambam wrote to the people of Teman who were suffering terribly at the time, and he wrote a letter to be mechazik them. And he says, I'll be short. But in the times of Mashiach, there's going to be a lot of people are going to be claiming to be Mashiach, and it's a terrible thing. And he goes on to say it really shouldn't be that way. But at the end, he says, his hero milas is that the Yeshbiyahu Uma al Derech Mashal. Hashem put a shvua on Uma al Derech Mashal. Up the Rambam. The Rambam we also everyone holds of the Rambam, right? Al Derech Mashal. V'amar Hishbati Eschem Benois Yerushalayim. Al Derech Mashal. The Rambam says it's not halacha. It's an agadita. Again, agadat has to be taken seriously, but it's not halal. And he has other answers as well, but we'll stick to that for now. Now I want to go on to a few gedolim who say differently than the Sat Mishita. Not me. I'm not even going to talk about Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik. I'm not going to talk about the quote-unquote modern Orthodox gedolim, which I don't even know what that means. But people throw it around. I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about people who are accepted, as Dr. Sprecher, I heard him say in his speech once, these people are mainstream, Sheba mainstream. These people are accepted everywhere. Their svarim are in every shul and every yeshiva. So I want to talk about that, and I want to show you their view on Zionism. So I want to point out, I don't know if the Sanrav is a Das Yavid. I admit that. I don't know. I wasn't ma'ayin on that side so well. Munkacharov, Lafsin, we'll see Chassidish or Rebbes that were not. That's sure. That's my point, Donnie. Sorry? 100% over the years, 100%. And many, not just the Chassidish. Rav Hankin also. And there were a lot of Gedolim, by the way, that before the establishment of the State of Israel were against Zionism, but once there was Hakamas Medina, once 1948 came and there was a state, they changed. They said, okay, fine, now that there's a state, good. Adarava. So yeah, it's true. People did flip their stance. But this I just want to say something from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, okay? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, first of all, before I even get to that, I just want to show you, this is a sefer, okay? It's called HaTekufa HaGadol. I went into the Mizrahi bookstore on Quentin over here. I was looking for a different sefer, which he actually didn't have, which I was shocked. But he ended up talking me into buying this. HaTekufa HaGadol. HaTekufa HaGadol, this sefer is gold. It is an unbelievable sefer. Now, who wrote this sefer? The person who wrote this sefer, his name was Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher. Okay, do you know who Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher is? Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher was a gadol atzum, and he was the person who also put together a different sefer that you probably did hear of called the Torah Shelema. The Torah Shelema is used by every single Rav. I don't care who it is. He has looked in the Torah Shelema. And he's preparing a drasha for Shabbos, you look in the Torah Shelema. If you want to speak about something about the Parsha, you look in the Torah Shelema. You talk about being accepted, widely accepted is not even enough to say. So he also wrote this sefer called HaTekufa HaGadol, which deals with all these issues. It's unbelievable. It's a fascinating sefer. That's first one. We'll get back to that in a little bit. But Tzvi Pesach Frank was He was also Mechaber Sefer, wrote the Har Tzvi, the Eretz Tzvi, the Mekorei Kodesh, Sfarim that are in many yeshivas. Okay? And he says as follows. The realization of the state of Israel, I couldn't find it inside, but I found the translation online. The realization of the state of Israel as being a great salvation for the Jewish people, and as a schalta de geula, every eye can appreciate the hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us an existence in this land of our forefathers. And he goes on and on and on. He said, after so much time at the extended Golus, when the Goyim challenged us, what hope do you have? 2,000 years where Jewish blood was spilled like water. That's what he says. And now you're going to turn this away. And by the way, Tzvi Pesach Frank was also the Mechaber, this I have inside, was also the Mechaber of the Nusuch of the Mishaber for the Chayalei Tzahal. Which in many shuls, I don't want to, point anyone out. You say it here, Givaldik. But people are mefakbek. Oh, I don't know. What are you saying it for? Rabbi Pesach Frank wrote it. It's not enough for you? It's enough. You could learn his svarim. You could say the Mishabera. It's okay. That's Rabbi Pesach Frank. Weiter, someone else that I'm sure everyone heard of. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Everyone heard of Rabbi Zalman, yeah? At the hesped that Rabbi Herzog said for Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Zalman. In the 1930s, the British government wanted to give a small slice of land. This is pre-establishment of the state of Israel. They wanted to give a slice of land to the Jewish people. I'm going to read inside. The Pesach Pesachim Boilai Agoyim Kishu Kulei Roi Vivakash. 1 second. Dabar Shalai Hayol Yisrael. He says, I'm just going to say part of the things that Rabbi Zalman told me. Dabar Shalai Hayol Yisrael is something that never existed. Kulemar Medina. A state. Zekarv al-Payim Shana, close to 2,000 years. Va'akta Metziyim Zelufanenu, and here it is, right before us. Imki b'mida zu'am al-Eis'ata, okay, it's coming, it's shver, it's hard, it's coming through difficulties. He acknowledges that it wasn't perfect. But nevertheless, and by the way, in the 1950s, in the 1930s, this was pre-existence even. And still he's saying, Navina shalai litvais, you can't push it away. Nikar shezem in ha-Shamayim, this is from Shamayim. This is the Aschalta de Geula. This is the beginning of our redemption. Rabbi Zalman. Weiter. Someone, Rabbi Reuven Katz. Okay, there's a picture of Rabbi Reuven Katz. Okay, he's not wearing a kippah srugah. He's not wearing a straw hat. Rabbi Reuven Katz. And he also said about Rabbi Zalman. How happy, how great was the joy that he was able to see the establishment of the state of Israel. I'll go a little further. How are we doing on time? Okay, I'm going to try to make it quick. He was very excited. Mr. Zalman was very excited about the possibility of the establishment of a state. Rabbi Shulam Roth. Shulam Roth wrote the Kalma Vassar, another widely accepted sefer. He also says, I'll be quick, Vani Sefila, it's my prayer, Kasher Zachisi, that I was Zaycha Acharei Ashoa HaNoira, after the terrible Holocaust, Liris Vaschalte de Geula. I was Zaycha to see the Aschalte de Geula. This is very strong Russian.
You don't have a gula even 50 years later.
100%.
Chas
v'shalom. Aschalta de geula.
The gula started when it had gulas too.
You think it comes like this?
Same thing.
You say ani mamim every day?
See, 1,000 years ago, we had aschalta de geula.
So you gave up?
You don't understand. We had aschalta from the very beginning. What's the difference?
From the beginning of what?
What? Beginning of the gulas.
Again, I'm just repeating their words.
I understand that.
They're saying that this establishment of the state is the Aschalta de Geula. You have a that's fine, but you have to argue with them, not me.
I'm not arguing with them. I'm saying if that is really Aschalta de Geula, we've got to see some signs. We've seen nothing. We've seen that Mashiach didn't come. That's what we want.
I don't understand how...
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just
okay. Right. I'll talk to you after, because it's almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost
okay, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. And we mentioned Reb Henkin before, so I'll skip over it. But Reb Henkin, after the establishment of the state, Reb Henkin said, once the state was declared, anyone who plays into the hands of the nations of the world, even where there's no imminent danger, is a meiser and a roidev. Okay, that's Reb Henkin, who was anti-Zionist before the establishment of the state. This is what he said. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb Yaakov, we all know, right? Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky says in the Emes LeYaakov, I'm sure it's here on the shelf, the Emes LeYaakov, Sivei v'akadosh baruch hu es hakamas ha-medina kidei l'chazek es hazoyis ha-yehudis ha-yadus l'kayim es ha-kesher shebein yadus ha-goylu k'al Yisrael. Hashem caused the establishment of the state of Israel in order to strengthen the connection to Judaism and to sustain the link between the Jews in exile and the Jewish nation. So Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Shraga Feigl Mendelovich. Shraga Feigl. This is a great story. November 29th, 1947. The United Nations debated the issue of partitioning the British Mandate for Palestine into two countries, one Arab, one Jewish. And Rav Shraga Feigl davened, this is from an art scroll book. Art scroll everyone holds up, right? So this is from an art scroll book. Rav Shraga Feigl prayed. He had no radio in his house, Rav Shraga Feigl. But that Friday, he borrowed one. He turned on the news. He left it on for Shabbos. He waited with such tense anticipation to hear the outcome of the UN vote that he did not even come to Shal Shabbos. When he heard the UN's decision to establish a Jewish state, he stood up and he made a bracha, Hatayv V'Hameitav. Rav Shraga Feigl. He later gave a speech about his feelings about this. I'll skip over that because we're short on time. But afterwards, after the speech, in a conversation with the Satmar Rav, after his talk about this, Rav Shraga Feigl, you can imagine what the Satmar Rav said to him. And he doesn't say exactly what was said in the conversation, but he says his sharpest criticism of his Zionist leanings. And later he told his family, Rav Shraga Feigl, he said, I could have answered him chazal for chazal, medrash for medrash. But I didn't want to incur his wrath, because he's a great man and a tzaddik. And then he added, besides, he has a fiery temper. This is a great story. It's a Shraga Feigl. I'll end with one more, because I think everyone here heard of this guy. The Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim died in 1933. Before the establishment of the State of Israel, but he was alive for the Balfour Declaration. And he writes about it. So first of all, in this HaTikufa HaGedayla, when I got it, I read like the first 20 pages quickly, and then I had to put it down. But in his introduction, he says, Yves Mashakasim Mefurash Ha'eschalta D'Geula Tia B'Darkei HaTeva. Yeschalta de'geula is going to be through natural ways of the world, right? It's not going to be someone coming down from heavens and telling everyone, no, Mashiach's here. It's going to happen derech hateva. K'mayim mekayrish. And he says the point is, he says he doesn't understand that the words of the Chafetz Chaim cannot be. V'adavar pelesh, edvar of elu, that these words of the Chafetz Chaim, lo yiduim, v'lem yeforsim chal, no one knows about them, it's not spread around to people, afilu v'ein tamid yechachamim yidai le Yisrael. How does no one know that this is what the Chafetz Chaim felt? It's edvar pelesh. So I looked into it a little bit further, and it's unbelievable. I believe it was a grandson, but I'm not 100% sure, that wrote, I remember in the winter, that how happy the Jewish people were by the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration wasn't even an establishment of the State of Israel, but it was a sliver, it was a glimpse. And they told the Chafetz Chaim, you know, everyone's very happy about this; they're excited. The Chafetz Chaim started crying. V'omar, he said, "L'simcha mazuisa, what are you talking about? Hakadosh Baruch Hu hivtiach lanu faratz the yom of a kedma v'tzafayna v'negba. Hariz a shtar b'tuach shakadosh Baruch Hu yifrais in his manai. This is a shtar b'tuach that Hashem is going to do this for us. L'soif b'yim anashim, and now people came u'moidim and they're moidim rak al chelak katan shabishtar zeh shakadosh Baruch Hu. So now people are coming and they're moidim a tiny slice of what Hashem promised us, and you're happy." And he started crying again. I would say that it wasn't Zionist enough for the Chafetz Chaim to believe that the Balfour Declaration was something to be happy about. He wanted it all. He wanted the whole state. He also says, he's saying that when he saw what was going on at the time, that the Jews were being treated terribly, this is before the Holocaust, and he saw how they were being treated, he said, "Hamachna anishar lefleito hu Eretz Yisrael." Eretz Yisrael is going to have the remainder. Eretz Yisrael is going to have the people that are going to be spared. Bahartzi antia pleito v'haya kodesh. V'lachein haya batuach. I'm sure. I'm certain. Ki artzenu hakadosha tinatzel. Eretz Yisrael will be saved. This was 10 years before the Holocaust. You can imagine how he would have felt, even afterwards. Chafetz Chaim. Yaakov Kamenetsky, Sholem Roth, on and on and on. Gedolim, Gedolei Olam, accepted, right? Everyone here would have no problem kashering their kitchen based on what the Mishnah Berurah says, or keeping Hilchos Shabbos, rather, based on what the Mishnah Berurah says. Right? Everyone would have no problem doing that. You learn Shemir Salashim daily, right? And we're still not even sure what Lashon Hara is. But here we're sure what the Chafetz Chaim said. You can't listen to it. Our entire faith is based on Ani Ma'amin. I believe that Mashiach is coming. So believe it. Believe it. Internalize it. There is no reason why anyone here, Haredi, ultra-Orthodox, that sends to Yeshiva and Beis Yaakov's, should ever feel embarrassed, Chas v'Shalom, or ashamed to say that they're a Zionist. Don't fly the flag, okay?
Every year, every single year, you must know what's the flag.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. There's no reason for anyone to feel like that. It's more than a yesh al mi wismut. It's not just that we found a random person who said something. There are gedolim, and believe me, I left a lot on the cutting floor. I have so much more. And you could look at this entire sefer. There is so much more. There's a sefer called Aschalta Hi, which is full of, again, people who are mekubal far and wide by Klal Yisrael. I want to give everyone a bracha. I'm not ready to give a bracha, so I'm just going to say, it's my hope. It's my hope that we should all be zaycha. The Chafetz Chaim says that the man, we know, tasted like anything you wanted, right? So Frek the Chafetz Chaim, what if you didn't have anything in mind? What if you just picked it up and ate it? So what did it taste like? It's good kasha. So he says, the mashal of the man is the same mashal as the geula. You have to feel it. You have to feel it if you want it to taste like something, and the geula is the same thing. So I'll give everyone a bracha. Whatever your views are, whatever it is fine. But I give everyone a bracha, they should internalize it. Try to feel the geula. When we say ani mamim with feeling. Ani mamim b'vias ha-mashiach ha-chakeh loy b'chol yom sh'yavoy, that Mashiach can come any day. Thank you very much.